All right, looking at the first verse, and Sarah, Abram's wife, bore him no children. So this reminds us of what God told us for this year, single barren. Now, if you have plenty of fruit, you're not to sing. This is just for those that have been barren. That is, you've been desolate. You have not produced the fruit, or you haven't seen the outward fruit or the outward blessing that God has promised to his people, and that the barrenness is the one that sings. The one that sings is not the one that has lots of children, but the one that didn't have any and couldn't. And Sarah, or her name at this point is Sarai. Sarai is different than Sarah. Sarai means God is the Lord, or Yah is prince. And so Sar, the first three, it means prince. But Sarah means that she is the princess. So it's one thing to say that God is the prince over her. It's the other thing to say she's my princess. So he changed her name to submitted to God, therefore you're blessed of God. When you're submitted to God, you're blessed of God. So the key is Sarah, comes from Sarai. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abraham, "Behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I would obtain children by her." And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, or Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, or Canaan. And he gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. So he went in to Hagar, she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. So, in other words, as soon as Hagar's servant, handmaid, saw that she was going to bear her mistress's husband, a child, she became proud and she despised her mistress. Now, I want to liken this to us rather than tell you all about what the scripture is saying. I want to quickly go to the fact that Abram had two wives. Later, he gets another one, a third one. The first wife of Abram, and by the word, the name Abram is from these two letters right here, Av. That means father. So father. And the Ra and the Am means people. Father somehow of people. But in this case, the Ra is like head over. So he's like the head man. So the father who is head over the people, that was his original name. But whenever God comes into your life, he gives you a new name because you get a new name with your new nature. Under the old name or the old nature, he was the big shot, Abraham, who was known in the world as a big guy. He was a leader, a ruler. But when God named him, he renamed him to be Avraham, which is Abraham now is the father of many nations or peoples or kingdoms. So he became not just the big shot at home, but he became the father of many nations, not just his own family. So no longer is he the chief or the big guy. He is now God's father of many nations. Now, Sarai, his wife, was barren. So this father of many nations can't have any children at all. He can't even have a nation because his wife is barren. So that's a problem, is that the one whom God chooses to be his wife is barren, so all the promises that God made to him out of the covenant come to nothing. What good is a covenant where God says, "I'll bless you and I'll do this"? So God makes a covenant with him, a promise. And this is not a two-way covenant, but a one-way covenant. I, Abraham, will bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. I'll bless those that bless you. I'll make you a great nation. All the families of the earth will be blessed, and on and on and on. So God self-obligates himself as one-sided. It's not like Moses who says, if you're good, I'll reward you. If you're bad, I'll punish you. This one says, I'm going to make a promise that you're going to be great and you don't have to do a thing. It's my promise. It's my gift. It's not a payment. It's not a reward. You don't have to work 8 hours a day and then I pay you. This is just a gift. God has the ability to make a covenant any way he wants to. And in this case, he decides that Abraham does not have to be a good man. He does not have to work for it. He doesn't have to do anything. He just decides, I want to make you my partner, and I'll do everything. It's a one-way partnership. I have everything. You have nothing. I am the superior. You are the inferior. But I'm going to raise you up by giving you all these gifts. I'll make your name great. I'm going to make a great nation out of you, you know, all the families, and so on and so on. So now, that's a wonderful promise, but look, when God makes a promise, he has no way to keep it. Because his wife, Sarah, how can you be the head of many peoples when your wife is barren? So that's the end of that. But Sarah, being smart, very clever woman, she decides, hey, I got an idea. Look, since I can't have kids, and God made this neat promise, but he can't bring it to pass, I'll help him out. I'll help him out. I will give my maid, who's under my care and under my power, I will give her to my husband, and he could bear a child through her, and maybe that's how I'll have these families, because God can't lie. So, but he just needs a little help. How many know that sometimes God needs help? He tells you that you're going to be blessed, but sometimes you don't see it. And so, sing, O barren. So, Sarah is told, you know, hey, God's going to keep his promise, but she goes, yeah. But you know what? I don't see it. And I don't see how it's going to happen. And so therefore, look, I've come up with this idea. Abraham, I don't know if you're going to like this or not, but this younger maid of mine, who's really cute and pretty, she is going to be the one that you're going to, you're just going to make her your wife, but she'll be a concubine. And Abraham goes, yahoo! But anyway, he shouldn't have done that. That was bad. That was bad. He should have been happy just with what he had, but guys are stupid. Our guy's not stupid. Amen. Anyway, so he's excited about it. So he finally has his boy. He gets his boy, and he's 86 years old, and he has Ishmael. Now, I told you last time that Ish is the Jewish word or the Hebrew word for man, Ish. And Shema, which is the middle part of his name, means hear, Shema Israel, hear, O Israel. So man, hear, and then God. El. So El is the Hebrew word for God. So it could say God hears man, or it could say man hears God, but it's actually that God hears man. Because you remember you don't remember, but she's pregnant at this time, but has not yet born in the 16th chapter. Later she bears, and then she'll call his name Ishmael. But before that time, she is so happy that she's pregnant. And so she despises her mistress, Sarah. Now, I'm going to apply this to us in a minute. But first of all, she's like, the old lady can't do it with the man. I did it. Look at my tummy. And so she's happy and excited that she has a child and she helped out because the real wife couldn't do anything. She was barren. How many know that men will sometimes take advantage of women like that? And in this case, it was Sarah's idea. She actually said, look, since you're my handmaid and under my authority, I'm going to somehow extend my family because I can't have children. I cannot bear. I cannot be fruitful. I can't have nations and all this stuff that God promised. So I'm going to help God out. I've got this idea. So as soon as it happens, the mistress is despised by the one who is her handmaid. And the handmaid looks to her, and you know how women can kind of communicate. I don't, but women do. Peg knows. And they can just kind of let you know, you couldn't make it, but I gave your husband a child. And so she is excited and happy, and Abraham loves her. And you can just tell he's just doting on her. And Sarah is ticked. She really doesn't like this. And she comes to Abraham and said, this is all your fault. Perfect wife. Can you see this? My fault, he could have said. It was your idea. It wasn't my idea at all. I was quite happy the way things are. I didn't know how God was going to work it out. But this is your brilliant idea. He didn't say anything. She just said, it's totally your fault. May God judge between us. I hope that God sees that I'm innocent here and you are the guilty one. What did I do? All I did was do what you said. Isn't that a perfect husband? So he realizes, you know, I don't see what the problem is. I'm going to have my son, which is what I want. I'm going to be the father of many nations. Just isn't through you, but it's your idea. So I don't see why you're so ticked. Because she despises me. Well, God won't allow it. The woman is not going to be wrong. It's the husband. And she says, it's your fault. You did this. I will take no blame. I'm innocent in this. This was done with good faith. And now, look at this woman despising me, and you're going along with it. I tell you, I blame you. Now, may God judge between us. So I love that. Don't you love? May God judge between me and thee. I love that thee. That's good. Oh, my gosh. So Abraham decides, look, I'm going to show you something here. This is interesting. Let's see, I need another color. Let's use this color here. This is the church of faith. But look, faith has no evidence. It's just faith in God's promise, but nothing happens. But over here is works. So works gets things done because it doesn't have to wait on God. So a church that believes in working your way, in other words, you should behave yourself and then God will love you. She behaved herself and look, she produced the child. So she gets the reward. So her son is going to inherit everything. Whereas this woman is barren. She has faith, but she doesn't see anything. She just has faith in his promise, but God isn't coming through. So good thing she thought of this idea here. Let's have a religion of works where you're saved because you're good. Now everybody here believes that. Everybody believes, even if you've been taught differently, everybody here believes that if I'm good, I should be rewarded, and if I'm bad, I should be punished. Everybody believes that. And when someone does wrong to you, you want them punished. And if you do wrong, you want to be forgiven, but if they do wrong, you want them punished. That is just natural. Everybody believes that. Well, look, let me explain why, you know. But there's no explanation. You're barren, period. If God gave the husband a promise, you must be a bad wife. There must be something wrong with you. And she said, no, it's your fault. I'm not taking any blame. Perfect. Because Jesus never blames the wife. He comes downstairs. He comes and meets us. And he says, you know, I'm taking this one for my wife, and she is full of sin. He picks a woman that's full of sin, which is the church. And how many know that there's still sin in the church? And he deliberately picks a church with sin in it and says, it's all right, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm the husband. I will pay. Now, what is it you did? I sinned against God. Okay, well, the reward for that is death. So don't worry about it. I'll die for you. That's a good husband. How many know that's a good husband? Did not, even though the wife wasn't innocent, he called her innocent and said, I don't want any burden on my wife. I want all the burden on me, and I'll pay for it. Even though I didn't do anything, still, I will take the burden, give her the blessing. Give her the blessing. Well, she doesn't deserve it. She did wrong. Give her the blessing. Give me the burden. It's a good husband. Amen. How many know you want a husband like that? You want a husband that no matter what you do, even if you spend too much money or you're, you know, you undermine him or whatever, the husband says, it's all right, sweetheart, I'll pay for that. Don't worry, I'll just get another job. I'll make sure that you're blessed because that's all that matters to me is your happiness. How many of that's a good husband? That is a great husband who just simply says, look, I don't care about myself. My Father in heaven takes care of me. I'll just spend all of my time and energy and everything just to make sure you're blessed and happy all the time. Wow. Amen. Is that not a good husband? Peg, wouldn't you think that was a good husband? So you see, Peggy likes that idea that it's never her fault, even when it's her fault. You see, even though it's her fault, it's not her fault because I'm the one responsible. You see, the husband is the head. So if you're the head, Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you will be a servant. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you're going to be a servant. So that means even though it's her fault, I'm not allowed to ever say so or to get her. but I'm only allowed to say, Peg, don't worry about it. Give it to me. I'll pay for it. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. I'll cover all that. And whatever punishment comes, bring it to me. And if you want to add a little punishment to it, go ahead. No problem, because you're my beloved. Isn't that beautiful? Y'all see that? What a great husband. How many husbands are like that? I haven't got any. Oh, I got one way in the back. Who is that? David. Is that you, Dave? That's a great husband who takes abuse, misuse, no problem, because the wife should never be burdened. She should always be blessed. Can you see that's how Jesus treats his church? Amen. Jesus does not say, you sinned, you die. He said, you sinned, I die. You see that? That's mercy. That's mercy to someone that doesn't deserve it. I don't want Peg to ever worry, ever care, or anything. She can just be whatever she wants to be. I love her not the way she ought to be, but the way she is, and I don't care how she is, because she's my beloved. Why? Because God gave her to me. Do y'all see that? So she's the perfect wife, even if she doesn't look like it, act like it, talk like it, walk like it, smell like it, and she can do whatever she wants to do. That's called unconditional love. Did you all understand that? That's called unconditional love. That's a one-way covenant that said the burden is on the one that self-obligates. You got into this marriage, you got into the idea that you would make her happy, that you would do everything to make her happy. How many know that women are never happy? I mean, it's a miracle if you ever found a man that said, yes, my wife is happy. She's always never satisfied. I found that out. Peg was never satisfied. If I took her out one night in the year, she was not satisfied. That wasn't enough. She wanted again and again. And then she would stretch the evening out. You know, it's like, Peg, you know, we've done our thing, you know. You've eaten your McDonald's burger and I've eaten mine. Let's go home. It's over. And for some reason, God said, no. That is not the way I want it. I want Peg to be blessed over and over and over and never to be burdened. You take all the burden and don't ask for any blessing. Isn't that neat? To have a man that understands what a real man is like. A real man does not burden his wife. He burdens himself and blesses her, and he does not bless himself. Why? Because God blesses the man.
Right.
Take care of all his needs.
Amen.
I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory, saith the Lord. And if a man believes that, doesn't have to see it, just believes it, doesn't have to see it. Because it's not a works religion, it's a faith religion. So when God makes a promise, you don't question it. And now a real man then would just believe that and say, I don't need to see it to believe it. So I've told Peggy, I love you unconditionally. You get in a car accident the next day, you know, hate me, despise me, bite me, kill me, shoot me, I don't care. I love you, period. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see that?
Amen.
You're looking kind of sober. You know, loosen up. It's okay. You forgive and forget everything. You forgive and forget everything. Why? That's what God did. That's the way God treated his church. As Christ loved the church, so let every man love his wife. Do y'all see that? All right, now I'm using this story to teach you something. I'm really not doing it. I believe the Holy Spirit is, this is exactly what the meaning of this story is. That there's two churches here. The one church is a church where you have to work your way into a relationship. If you're good, you get a reward. If you're bad, you get a punishment. That's the way everybody in this world operates. If you do wrong, then you deserve what you get. And if you do right, then you should be rewarded. The problem is, we often don't do right. And so there's a real problem, especially for the woman, is what if Peg does something wrong and undermines me and emasculates me and cuts me down? I was taller, but she has a way of cutting you down. And Jesus said, no, let her cut you down. Let her crucify you. You just stay, like I said, on the cross. Father, forgive her. She doesn't know what she's doing. Bless her. Forgive her. Don't count it. Wow. And the Father hears that and says, you had faith. Jesus had faith when he went to the cross that even though he's dying for you, he wants to. He voluntarily wanted to, even though it was your sin that put him there. It's amazing. Do y'all see that? So don't make religion something that doesn't apply to your life. Make it something that's personal. Now, I tie it to the marriage because it's the easiest way to understand this Abraham and Sarai and Hagar. Now, Hagar has the son, Ishmael, who is already 13 years old. He's already 13 years old when he's circumcised, which is the time when Yitzhak, his first wife, his first real wife, the real wife, not the concubine, that's the real church, the true church. When she conceives, she is so excited because God says to her, and this is another chapter, he says to her, in the spring I'll be back and you're going to have a son. And you're going to call his name, he laughs because you laughed at the fact that even though you've been barren all these years, you're suddenly going to be blessed beyond measure. How many know that we're going to be blessed beyond measure? Not because we earned it, not because we did right, not because we're worthy, not because we'll appreciate it, not because we'll do right if he does. No, none of those things are necessary. It's just that he wants to give us the kingdom. He just wants to bless us outwardly. And so Sarah was going to have a son when the Ishmael son was 13, and now Abraham is 99, and his wife Sarah is 89, 10 years younger. She's going to have her first child. But at 89, that's just conception. She has to have faith because she still doesn't have the child. The child has not come. She's waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, watching this boy grow up, and now he's 13. And by the time the boy is, he'll be 14 when he's actually born. So year after year after year, Sarah has no evidence at all that God meant Abraham to have a covenant that included her. There was no good news for her because she was barren. There was no good. She could not go to the marketplace and say, you know, my husband and I have a wonderful marriage and, you know, we have children just like God said. She kept it to herself because she didn't see any evidence. Now God says, no, I want a church that has faith in me no matter what. Now I'm going to say something to you. When God says he's going to do something, if you don't believe it, then if there's no evidence, you stop believing. You just go, I don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe in God because he hasn't been good to me and I haven't seen any evidence of it. And can you blame anyone for not believing in a God that lies? But one thing about God, he can't lie. And yet he makes promises that he doesn't keep. That is, I didn't see it today or tomorrow or the next day or the next day or the next year or the next year or the next decade or the next decade or 2,000 years or whatever. How many know God is slow? Not only to anger, but to keep his word. But of course, that's your view. Whereas 1,000 years to God is just a day. It's just yesterday. Or 2,000 years, just 2 days. 3,000 years, what's that to God? It's just like 3 days. So God thinks, why are you so impatient? Well, it's been 3,000 years. Oh, just 3 days.
It's just 3 days.
You know, and so God is often slow in my time. My understanding is that was 1,000 years, and I don't live that long. I mean, no, nobody's ever lived 1,000 years. The oldest guy in the Bible was how old? 969 years. So he was 31 years short of making it. I mean, he almost made it, but he was the oldest one. You know what killed him off was the flood. Yeah, that was Methuselah. So he died the year of the flood. Exactly. You could not have the flood until he died because he was of that family. And so when they had his funeral, the next thing was the raindrops started coming. Doop, 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 doop. And it never had rained before. They'd only had dew prior to that. So all of a sudden, God wipes out the whole earth after that. Now, this Works Church is the biggest church in town. All the big works are the ones that work. Whereas the faith people, they don't have any fruit. They just believe in God coming. Oh, God, someday he'll come. God will someday come, but he never comes. He doesn't come. But if you really believe, you never doubt. And I totally believe. For example, I believe Peggy's the perfect wife. Since she's the perfect wife, now I also believe something else that's equally ridiculous, that I'm the perfect husband for that perfect wife. You don't see the humor of that. But anyway, I am the perfect husband for her. Now, the rest of you could breathe a sigh of relief that you didn't marry me. But Peggy, I'm actually a blessing to her, David. I'm an incredible blessing. Am I not, Peg? See that? Did you see that? Oh, that's funny, because I'm not, you see. But God doesn't go by appearance. You see that? God doesn't go by appearance. And I've told you many times, she's as bad as I am. How many know that she's wicked? Yeah, I do say she's worse, because she is. Because she's such a hypocrite, sometimes she thinks she's better than me. Don't be sorry for her. Did you feel sorry for her? This is a wicked woman. The woman thou gavest me. No. So God says, Jim, don't go by sight. Go by my promise. She is perfect. How many agree that Peggy's perfect? Okay. Now, whatever, whoever you're married to or whatever your family is, everything is going your way. How many know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord?
Amen.
Called according to his purpose. Now, since God is the guarantor of your marriage, you don't need to look and figure out and see. You don't need any evidence because we're not a works church. We're a total faith church. When God says, Abraham, don't worry, I'll make you a great nation. Don't worry, you'll be blessed. Anyone that curses you, I'll curse. Anyone that blesses you, I'll bless. You know, all the families of the earth, all the families of the earth will be blessed because of you. That's amazing. Those are tremendous promises, and they're so ridiculous that nobody could believe them but an idiot. You can't believe that I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And here's a guy with a barren wife. How are you going to make a nation out of him? So year after year, then they come up with this little trick. Ah, I figured it out through the maid. God still meant to give the barren woman more children than the one that has many children. Sing, O barren, before you see. Sing, O barren, for you shall have more. The children of the desolate will be more than children of the married. So, wow, that's amazing. What a promise. Is that she that's desolate is actually chosen and blessed of God. We always think the opposite. But God always turns everything upside down. God always reverses everything and said, no, this is the one I want over here, even though there was no evidence. The boy's already 14 years old. Finally, Sarah bears a son. But, you know, while she's 89 and it's coming forth, she's the only one for a while that knows about it. But Hagar is not happy about that because her son was going to inherit. In other words, the church that does works, that is nice, full of nice people, and they behave themselves and they are deserving of a reward. Those churches seem to flourish for a while, but in the end, God judges them. No good. That's not what I want. I didn't want men to work. I didn't want my wife to work. I didn't want people to do anything good. I wanted to do all the good. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. I obligate myself to do all that's wonderful and good and blessing. I'm God. Whereas the faith people say, yeah, we're waiting on God. And they don't see it. And they don't see it. They just see the barrenness. They just see that God hasn't come through. And the temptation is to complain. The temptation is that even if I'm a perfect husband and she's a perfect wife and this is a perfect church and we're living in, you know, you're just tempted to grumble. You're tempted to gripe. You're tempted to accuse. You're tempted to complain. But God says, no, I want you to worship me. How many understand that God wants you just to thank him for doing everything, but you didn't see it? Why should I thank him before I see it? Because you're a faith church. You're not a works church. You don't get a reward because you did it and saw it. Anybody could believe when they see it. Blessed are those that, having not seen, yet believe. Anyone can say, oh, look at how God has blessed me. Of course, America is a great place because, look, we've been blessed. No, what if there's judgment? What if you don't see it? Then do you say you're cursed? For many people, they do. They just go, you know, oh, look, God doesn't keep his promise. Oh, it's because of your sin. I'll tell you what, it's America's sin. It's New Orleans sin. It's because Haiti sinned. No, it isn't. We sin too. How many know that we sin too? I can at least see three people on each side that have sinned in this church. There's one right there. Okay, let me see. Yeah, right there. So sinning is not the reason. It isn't sinning that's the reason. It's faith. Now the question is, do you have to see it to believe it? Now, when you believe something, you say it before you see it. So I say, I love you, Peggy, unconditionally. just as you are, never fix up, do anything you want to do, I still love you, I'll never change my mind. Why? Why can I do that? Easy. Because that's what God said to me. And since God took care of all my needs, I don't have any needs. Therefore, it's easy for me to love others. It's easy for me to lay down my life. It's easy for me to be abused all day long and ignore it. It's easy for me to take all kinds of abuse and love it. Why? Because I already, how can I lose when I've already won? If Jesus loves me and that's the goal, now if I'm just using him, then that's not the goal. If I'm just using Jesus to get a better life down here, then that's not the goal. But let's say the goal of life is to get my sins forgiven and then for Jesus to transform me into his likeness so I can then attend heaven someday and live there forever and ever. If that's the goal, he already promised me that, and all I have to do is believe it. And the proof that I don't believe it is that I'll try to do something. I'll try to be worthy of it. That would offend God. God does not want you to stop sinning. You say, yes, he does. He wrote a whole book about that. I know, but he misunderstood. And by the way, did you do it? So who cares what he wrote a whole book about? Nobody ever did it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So who cares that God said, don't sin? If you sin, I'll punish you. Well, who cares if he said it? Because we all did. So the only question for us is, okay, I did. Now what? So what's the punishment? Death. Okay, well, I'm dead. But I don't believe that. I believe God has another word, which is, even though under the law, under this church over here, you should die because you didn't do right, under the gospel, Sarah's church, you don't have to do anything. You can just be born of Sarah, but of course you don't see it. You just have to believe it because he wrote it down in the book. So the question now is, what's your heart? Is your heart going to go by what your eyeballs see, or is it going to go according to what God has written down as a promise to you? What do you believe? Do you believe his word, or do you believe your own emotions? Or do you believe your own mind? Or do you believe, or do you rely upon yourself to say what's true and false? As for me, I believe that God is not a liar. I believe he tells the truth. I believe he cannot lie. And I believe he loves me. And why do I believe it? I have no idea, but I do. I don't know. I can't explain it. I can tell you my testimony, but I can't explain it. All I can tell you is I am confident that everything's going my way at all times and in all places. Is there anyone else that can say amen?
Amen.
There's 14 people. Now that's good. I can calculate those numbers really quick. Okay, so how many here believe that even though you don't see that God loves you unconditionally with no condition whatsoever, that he will not lie to you, but he will keep his word and give you the kingdom? It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, not to earn it. He didn't say that so if you earned it, he would give it to you, and otherwise he'll take it away. No. Now, is that what churches teach? No, it isn't. They actually teach Hagar. They teach Ishmael. But we teach the opposite. We teach Abraham's faith. Now, Hagar, the mother, was an Egyptian. And in Egypt, to get to the top of the pyramid, the Pharaoh's god, and you're one of his servants, you have to do things to be on his right side. But in God's kingdom, over here with Sarah, it's the opposite. In Sarah's kingdom, you don't have to do anything. God does everything. And God has promised to give you the kingdom. And here, a leader is the one that serves like God. God is the servant. Jesus is the servant. And now, God wants every man to be the servant to their wife, to their children, to their neighbors, and to all mankind, even to their enemies. That means even to Hagar. Even Hagar was never cursed. I'll tell you right now, Hagar is not cursed. Under the law, there's a curse, sin and death. But under the gospel, Sarah's religion, the curse can be removed by the blood of Jesus. The curse can be removed. Now you can be blessed without having done anything good. As a matter of fact, not only without doing anything good, without you could be blessed by doing everything wrong. Because that's what we do. Even when we do right, I want to have a little bit of credit for it. How many know that when I do something right, I have another motive in me? Like, I did right, pay up. So we used to argue about this a lot in our family. Peg would say, you know, I've been working for months, getting, you know, just taking care of you and always blessing you. And then the time you took me out, what for? You didn't think that was funny. I thought that was funny. Anyway, so what for? I mean, don't you just have a joy in serving me? No. I mean, couldn't we go out once in a while or something? Why? What would we do? Well, you know, we could eat in a nice place. That costs money. Well, you get all your stuff and everything. I know. So that's why, because we're saving money from you. But, you know, you enjoy that, don't you? No. And then that took her about 20 years to say that, but then she finally got that out. Is I hate getting the short stick every time. Oh, I thought that was your part of your religion. I thought that was part of your blessing, because you really did have that religion. Peggy did have that religion. Hers was, even if he abuses me, I have to not confront him or attack him or something. I have to bless him, because my parents fought each other, and I vowed never to confront my husband or to have an argument. Isn't that true, Peg? Awful for her. It's wonderful for me. So I totally, without any conscience at all, took total advantage of that. Every time I abused her, she had to go in the room and then beat herself up and say, well, somehow, even though Jim, I think he did wrong, somehow it must be my fault. So I don't want to have an argument, so I'm just going to go ahead. And you think that's bad? Whatever. No, she learned to stuff. You can just stuff it. Well, that's why I didn't marry you. I married Peggy. Look what a good choice I was. Yeah, how many of your husbands are dead?
See? The servant, I'm probably going to really desire a husband.
Yeah, a good one.
I've been single a long.
Well, don't pick one here. All right. So God is teaching us something here. Forget all this husband-wife stuff. What God is teaching us is that when he says a word, he cannot lie. And he said to Sarah, you will have a child. And since she laughed, that's why he said, okay, name the child, he shall laugh. Yitzhak, or Isaac, the yeh in Hebrew is future. So it means he shall laugh. So Yitzhak. Now, so that laughter is us. We can laugh without seeing it. Before we even see it, we can already know, you know what? God's going to bless us. You know what? Everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. Even though I've sinned, even though I'm selfish, even though I'm nasty, even though I didn't do anything right, I did everything wrong, still God loves a person like me. Are you as bad as I am? Is there anyone here as bad as I am? Thank you. About one-third. Okay. What about you other two-third liars? You know, you are as bad as me. Isn't that awful? And you have the pasture you deserve, me. Because, you see, what I've learned is that God loves sinners. I can't believe it. I would not. I would not forgive other people until God showed me a new way. It's Jim. You see how I've loved you, how I've taken care of you? I forgave you all your sins. Then I began to change you. Then I began to bless you. But that's all my doing. You didn't earn any of that. Now, he didn't say, therefore, go and do that to Peggy. He did not. He just simply did that, and I just, beholding him, just looking at him, being kind to someone that didn't deserve it, I found myself changing. I did not work at it. I did not pray about it. I did not do anything. I can tell you for sure, all I did was worship God. Did you know that when you worship God for doing everything, he changes you? He dwells in the praises of his people. I just began to thank you, God, that I'm going to heaven. Peggy's burden is all get out, but I'm going to heaven because I'm a nasty person, but I took the free gift. Where she's still trying to earn it, and she's getting nowhere, and it's just weighing her down. You know, I've told you many times about the cake thing. She'd bring a cake, and as a good Christian, because she tried to be a good Christian, she'd always have to have the big piece toward me. So she'd turn the little plate toward me and say, would you like a piece of cake? And I go, yeah, hallelujah. Oh, look, one's bigger than the other. And then she'd go like that. And I knew what she was thinking was, I hope he doesn't take the big one. So I would say, Peg, I'd grab the big one. Peg, I think this is the bigger one. Do you want this one? Now remember, she's a Christian, so she can't say yes. So, do you want this one? No, it's okay. You can take it. No, if you really want it, I'll let you have it. No, that's fine. You can have it. Oh, good. And so I just ate it right in front of her. Now, did you see how I punished her for being a liar? She was lying. She wanted that big piece. So I punished her like that so she'd stop doing that. Do y'all see that? But she didn't. She just kept giving me the big piece. Year after year after year, grumbling and griping on the inside. But that's what she gets for being phony. If she'd have been nasty, she'd have just eaten it. Sometimes, like, this happened one time. She dropped the thing on the floor. She picked it up and put it back on and didn't show it to me. That showed she was not a good Christian, you see.
You've got to cake it all.
I should have got it in the face. She's done that too. But anyway, that was later. But the point is, you are loved as you are. You're not loved because you're good. You're loved for no reason whatsoever. Now, I want you to see, Sarah's family, Sarah's church, follows Abraham by believing before you see. If you never saw it, and this is the truth, because Peggy can tell you, it's the truth. If I never see it, I don't care. I already believe it. For me, faith is the victory, not the victory. Faith is the victory, not the victory. Now, this Old Testament series of stories from the 12th chapter, 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th today leads us to the 17th, which we'll take up next time. God is wanting to bless us through Abraham because you cannot be blessed through hard works. You can only be blessed because if you sin once over here, you're out. But over here, you could sin two times and you can still get in. And some of you have done that. Some of you have sinned two times. How many of you are two-timers? You know, see, if you've sinned two times, then, you know, but no, you can sin three times, four times. And Peter, thank God, asked him one day, how many times does my brother get to sin against me and I have to forgive him? 70 times seven. Well, that's 490. And thank God most of us don't get that far by lunch. But after lunch, it's a little trickier because after lunch, you've already probably sinned 490. Now, in my case, that's the first moment I wake up. I've already done all my sin number.
You know, there's not even any people around.
There's no people around. So, isn't God good? When you fall in love with God, it's a personal love affair. Personal love affair. What changed me in my marriage was not me becoming good. What changed me in my marriage was God being good. And the more I beheld Him, the more I found myself loving, thinking about her, blessing her, wanting to do everything. I didn't do that. That was not my thought at all. But I couldn't help but keep looking at how wonderful He was to me. By falling in love with Him, it changed my whole life. He ruined me. I had a very good selfish life going, but He ruined that because love breaks down every barrier. It's the love of God that sent Abraham, who was a sinner. He worshipped the moon god Sin in the city of Ur. He called him in the 12th chapter. He made a covenant with him sevenfold. And then in the next chapter, he began to separate him from Lot, one of his family members. And he said, come away from Lot, because Lot is a materialistic guy. When you give him the choice, take the well-watered valley or take this barren land, he'll take the well-watered valley. That church flourishes for a season. But when the wicked ones come, chapter 14, you'll see that this world can conquer that kind of church. A materialistic church will be conquered every time because only Sarah's church can conquer this world through love and mercy and forgiveness and kindness because we have faith that God cannot lie. And eventually, her Yitzhak produced blessing for the entire world. And there's no end to it. So the church that is barren should sing because you are about to see, and God has told us supernaturally, 2010 will be the year when you break forth. All of a sudden on the right hand, on the left hand, all of a sudden those that have only waited, they've done what God said, we've humbled ourselves, praised the Lord, never griped and grumbled, so what? Nothing came of it. So it looked like God lied. But He said to me on the 26th of last year, 2010, you will now see. So that means He's going to double us or triple us or whatever. That means in every way, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, in every way. So He said, make sure you enlarge your tent, stretch out the curtains of your habitation. And now, before you see it, I'm just telling you what he said. Don't spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, because you are about to see the Lord causing you in a way that the world will see it. Not that you'll just believe it, but faith, active in love. You will actually see the love of God. You'll actually see miracles, signs, wonders, healings, salvations, deliverances, all kinds of miraculous things. Not because you're worthy, but just because God keeps his word. And God said it's going to be this year. I said, okay. Praise the Lord. Now, do you believe? You don't have to. Nobody here has to believe. I believe. I totally believe it. I'm not going to help it. I'm not going to make it happen. I'm just telling it to you so that when it happens, you'll say, you know what? God is faithful. He did something incredible. He did something that couldn't be done, because I'm not going to help him. I'm not going to do anything. I just do what I do. But I believe that what we've experienced in our personal lives is the same thing God can do to anybody. If we can make it, anybody can make it. If Peggy and I can love each other, she was the most hypocritical wife you've ever seen. You all, I can see you don't like that. She is a hypocrite. But I love her just the way she is. I don't want her not to be a hypocrite. Let her be a hypocrite. I don't care if she hates me or loves me 1 second, hates me the next. She is my beloved. I believe she's a gift of God, the gift of God for me, and I believe I'm perfect for her. Now, you see how that's just faith? You don't have to have any evidence. Now, we do happen to have evidence, but the evidence doesn't prove it. The evidence is just God coming through for your sake. For your sake. So, I have shared my sins to make it clear to you, I don't care how many your sins are. Some of you have really big sins. Probably bigger than me. Could I see a show of hands? Oh, thank you for coming. I feel better. I love it when people are sinful. Because sinful people can still hope. Though you're barren, you will have children. You will have seed. God loves you even though you don't deserve it. And he, like Sarah, will bring forth by faith everything that he has promised. The best is yet to come. He always saves the dessert to the last. All right, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you as the music and the worship right now to give you the praise and the glory and the thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord God, that you have promised us extravagant things way beyond our greatest desires, more than we could ever hope for. But you have promised us those things, not in the world to come, but even in this world, 100-fold even in this world. And we give you the praise and the glory. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.